Episodes like this are why we do the podcast. Got to reconnect with a teammate after 10 years since the last time we talked. Don Shumpert joins the show, a leader and guy who did things right when Kevin and I stepped in 2013, went on to become a coach, GA'd for the Hawkeyes, coached in the NFL, and is now an NFL agent. Don has a great story. We know you'll love it. Let's have a day. Let's go. So to the Wash Up Walk-Ons, this is one of those episodes we need Drake here because he would give that fantastic intro. We don't have him. He's on vacation right now, actually. We have me. I'll try to do it justice. We have one of our former teammates on tonight, Don Shumpert, our guy Shump. Haven't talked to him in a decade. We're real excited to have him on the show. He's been doing big things since we left Iowa. He was there in our first year during 2013. And when you're a freshman, you don't get a lot of time to learn about the older guys. Shump's walking around. As freshmen, we're just scared. It's like Kirksey and Sheriff and all these guys are walking around. You're just trying to shut your mouth and learn what you're supposed to do. Shump was one of those guys. He didn't have a lot to say back then. When he did say something, it meant something. Kind of led by example. We're going to learn a little bit more about him tonight and hopefully tell a little bit more about his story as a Hawkeye and beyond. Don Shumpert, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tyler. I appreciate it. It's always good to catch up with a former teammate.
It's been a long time. Black and gold. How did Don Shumpert ever end up in the black and gold? What did that recruiting story look like?
Yeah, so ironically, I want to say about my junior year, the University of Iowa, they started recruiting me. I didn't know where Iowa was located on the map. And I'm from playing right above me, right?
Yeah.
So I had to go on the map and check it out. And once I took a visit, you know, you just got that family atmosphere, that continuity, longevity. You know, that's what really brought me to Iowa. And thankfully, that's what really got me into coaching. You know, Coach Ferentz, he took the opportunity to bring me back as a GA in 2015 to start my coaching career, you know, after I left Iowa. So, you know, I think the same reason why I went there, you know, it paid out for me because it's still the same continuity. You know, it's the same good people. And, you know, it was good for me. It was good for me.
Who recruited you?
So Eric Johnson. Eric Johnson. I don't know if Eric was around with Tyler. Probably not.
First he period. So that was his nickname was Soup, right?
Well, that was Coach Campbell.
That was Campbell. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Eric Johnson. Yeah.
For about a year and a half during our tenure.
Johnson went on to he got out of football and started owning Culver's, right?
Yeah, he did. He did.
That's one of the funnier stories.
I mean, it's honestly a pretty good pivot, not going to lie.
No, it definitely is. I mean, he's a businessman. He actually is doing financial services now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just got certified and he started a company with a couple other guys. So,
you keep in touch with him a decent amount?
Say it again.
You keep in touch with him then, or just kind of keeping tabs on?
I do. You know, we probably touch base once or twice a year. You know, he looked out for me a lot. You know, just being my recruiting guy. You know, he made sure I was good when I got to Iowa. You know, them days we wasn't eating a lot of meals. You know, you had one meal a day, and in the summertime you had no meals, so it was crazy. But you know, he'd make sure he'd give me a couple burgers or something. You know, I could throw it on the stove. So you know. For this little small stuff like that, you know, since my freshman year, me and him had a tight connection because he was always about the athlete.
Man, it was crazy back then. Yeah, because, like, you got one meal a day only during, certain periods of the year, too, to get training table. So right. It's like back in the summer, like, guys had to get jobs just to afford rent and food, especially, during the summer. It's like, and if you just got on campus, like you're trying to figure out which way is up and got to get a job, you got to show up to workouts. You have no idea what's going on at workouts, at classes or anything, man. That's the guys these days have no idea how easy they got it.
Man, they haven't made. So my first year coaching at Iowa, that was the first year where they actually got 3 meals a day. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to myself, like, you guys just don't know. We had to go to Hillcrest and eat dorm food. And basically, you know, every Monday we had to make weight. So that Sunday, you know, we eating Papa John's, McDonald's, anything that we could possibly eat to gain some weight.
Yeah.
Cheap, you know, so those were some different days.
That's, you had to do it on a budget too. You got to go get a $5 foot long from Subway or, you know.
So that it is funny. And that was for everybody. Like that was, they got dinner. They got like 5 meals a week, 6 meals a week.
It was Hillcrest food. It wasn't catered meals that they got now that were like really high quality stuff. It was basically the same stuff that every other student got at Hillcrest.
Yeah.
It really was.
When did you know, Shump, that you were going to be a football player? Like, was it middle school? Was it early on? Were you like St. Louis? There's basketball players in St. Louis. Like, what did that look like?
So, I actually was a basketball player. You know, that was my first sport. I started playing basketball in the first grade. Actually had some D1 offers to play basketball. Like, at the time, Wichita State, you know, they gave me an offer. Oh. Yeah, they went to the Final Four. Like,
yeah, man, they went on a run.
So they're Shockers, baby.
They did. They went on a run, bro. And so I started playing football in the eighth grade. Like, I was a late bloomer. And, you know, it just started to take off for me. My high school was more of a football school. And so as I continued to play and I grew, I started to get bigger offers, you know, like Big Ten offers. And so I think that's what made me play football. It was just the bigger offers. I mean, from a body standpoint, if I can go back, I'll probably do basketball. You know, I'm sure you guys can relate. You know, it's a lot of hits.
Were you playing in basketball?
I was really like a 2/3, two or three, you know, do a little bit of everything, you know, slasher, but just extremely athletic, bro. So,
man, that would have been a fun run at Wichita State hooping over there, dude. You ever have any regrets about not going that route?
Bro, I think about it a lot. I also think, like, if I did, I wouldn't be in the position I am today
as far as
from the football side of things. So, you know, it played out the way it was supposed to.
Everything works out for a reason.
For sure.
Yeah, it's because you're what, 6'3"?
Yeah, 6'3". You know, 40-inch vert, long.
Casual.
And he ain't lying. We in the weight room freshman year. And, you know, as a freshman, you're looking around. Hey, what do these guys got? Like, can I hang? You look down. Shump's on the vert. He's jumping out of the gym. Okay, I'm not jumping with that guy. Like, that's not in the cards today. Like,
Yeah, you're a long snapper. You don't give a crap what everyone else is jumping. I'm the DB that just walked into the facility. He's like, all right, what do I got to guard? I'm like, I'm in trouble.
Got to guard Shump. You know, guard Shump. Tough one. So did you
have any like memories like that where you like walked into the facility and was like, damn, there's some dudes around here, man. Like, I gotta bring my shit and compete.
No, for sure, man. So I was recruited as a safety. Actually recruiting as a safety. And, you know, I was cool playing safety, but we had a conversation. He was like, you know, Shump, do you want to switch over to offense? And when I seen how big them defensive players was, I was like, yeah, let's make the switch, bro. I was like 170 solid, soaking wet, going to Iowa. I left 200, but, I mean, them dudes was extremely big. You know, just the first time you go to a game and you see them dudes walk out, you like, yeah, this is a different type of level, you know. And as a young cat, you don't really – I guess the belief is not as high as you would like it because, you know, you got to work yourself into it.
For sure.
But definitely that was my moment, like going to a first game as like a recruit, like these dudes pretty big, bro.
I think it's kind of healthy to have a little bit of self-doubt as an 18-year-old true freshman or like, I don't know, senior year going into like, you know, a recruiting business. Like, cause if you think like you're just going to walk in and like have all the confidence in the world and just dominate, like, you know, it might work out for you if you're a freak, but it's, mm-hmm. More than likely, you're going to get your bell rung. You're going to get woken up to what college football is all about. So I'm curious, coming out of high school, were most places recruiting you as a defensive player or as a receiver?
I think I had more defensive guys. Like Wisconsin had me on defense. Minnesota had me on defense. But I was more athlete, you know, by rivals. They had me as an athlete. So the schools was really giving me a chance to play both ways. It was kind of up to me.
That's sick.
Okay. And so did you spend like a whole year as a DB before moving over, or what did that look like?
Yeah, it actually happened quick. The first training camp, I think we was low on receivers and Soup at the time, Coach Campbell, you know, he brought me into the office and just asked me, did I want to switch? As a young player, of course, I said, yeah. You know, looking back at it, like, defense is the way to go. It's more things that's in your control. As a receiver, it's a lot of variables that have to, you know, play out for you to make it to the next level.
For sure.
So, you know, if my son decided to play football, I'm telling him, bro, you playing defense. Like, that's the way to go.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's smart, right? It's like you always got to follow where your opportunities at. You know, like I had somewhat similar things when junior year camp. So we ran out of Leo linebackers, and I'm sitting there at third string safety, and they're like, hey, we need you to go play linebacker for a few days. And that few days became the rest of my rest of my career. So yeah, sometimes like when they ask, there's like, it's more, hey, we really think you should do this.
Yeah, they kind of tell you in a sense, like, this is what's going on.
Well, it's one of those things too, where when a coach, somebody in a position of authority, hopefully that you respect, like nudges you in a position, you're like, oh, like maybe they want me there. Like maybe they think I can succeed there, or this is where they think in their mind I could best help the team. And so you're like, okay, well, that kind of seems like the place then. You know?
And where you can best help the team is usually your best opportunity to get on the field too.
Right. Yeah.
Especially as a young guy.
Yeah.
Especially as a young guy. Yeah.
When you started to get offers, Shump, in, you know, junior year, like you said, when you were a freshman, maybe you don't even remember, freshman, sophomore in high school, did you picture yourself going away from home for college, or were you a homebody? Was that hard for you to, I mean, again, St. Louis, right? You probably, by the way, you probably had like Idaho and Ohio and Iowa all confused. You were one of those guys.
Yes, for sure, bro. Yeah. I'm like, what is this, man?
So, you know, St. Louis is what, maybe 6 hours away from Iowa City, seven?
About four, actually. About four.
Is it only four?
Only four.
Okay. So I'm thinking Des Moines. I didn't know if the – okay. So it's not that far away, but far enough that it's hard to go home on a weekend or, you know. So what was that like in your head as a young kid, 17, 18 years old?
Yeah, as a young kid, you know, the school that was big in St. Louis was Mizzou. Mm-hmm. But at the time – I think Mizzou was still in the Big 12, if I'm not mistaken. And they also, you know, they never recruited St. Louis like heavy back in the day. It was more, they was recruiting a lot of the Texas kids. So I figured that the Mizzou dream was kind of, that was cut short. After, you know, the Mizzou dream, I mean, University of Illinois, you know, Champaign, that's pretty close, but I wouldn't consider that home. So I knew I would have to leave home to play big time ball. I just never knew what it would look like. And, you know, as a young guy going on campus, you just, like you said, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. I mean, especially going into that summer camp and you're going to work. I used to work at the stadium, at Kinnick Stadium, and, you know, I was painting different things and cleaning up trash. And it's like now I'm like an adult officially. You feel me? Like a young adult. And, you know, it was different. Oh, yeah. It was different being away from home, you know, but it makes you grow up and it turns you into a man. So, you know, I definitely recommend, you know, leaving home for anybody, you know, just so you can grow up.
Definitely had to grow up a little bit faster back then. I mean, with NIL these days, I mean, does anybody get a job anymore?
Bro.
No shot.
Yeah, I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
Unless they got parents that are just like, you need to work. But like – As a student at this point, you're like, well, why? Like, I have money to pay for the stuff I need. Me working is
you're spending 60 plus hours a week being a student athlete. It's like,
yeah, I mean, you can make the argument that any energy you put towards a job is just a detriment to you being better as a student athlete. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, it's just like, you know, 12 years ago, it was just another thing that you just kind of had to do for.
Yeah, there's no choice. Yeah. No choice. I still think the greatest story is Travis and Bo and Josie working at the trailer park.
Trailer park boys.
Did you know Kirksey? Same class, right?
Yeah. We both came from St. Louis, man. So, you know, we came to Iowa together. I think that was back in 2010.
Yeah.
You know, came to Iowa, left the same year in 14. So,
you know. Did you know him before Iowa?
Yeah, I know him in high school. My sophomore year, we had met at Hazelwoodies, and you know, we became close. Was good friends, you know. So it was quite a cool story. Definitely was a cool story.
Do you guys like talk to each other like when you're committing or choosing your school or what?
Yeah, we actually, you know, committed on the same day, man. We made like three-way car to Coach Johnson. Like I say, Coach Johnson, that's my dude, man. He was a great guy.
Had himself a nice cigar that day.
Yeah. He definitely did. He got a 2 for 150, man.
2 for 1 special. You step in that 2010 summer, I assume maybe you came in camp, but probably summer sometime. And what was your first impressions of the team, your new teammates, the new schedule? Was it a little bit daunting? Did you have trouble adjusting, or what was that like?
The schedule, I would say the toughest thing was maybe waking up like at 5:30, 5 o'clock, especially like in the wintertime when it was snowing outside and we had to make our way over with the mopeds and had to knock out that early lift. Like,
I mean, you were lucky if the moped started in the winter sometimes.
No, for sure, bro. I think that was the most mentally challenged thing because your body was so sore already and you had to like push yourself that next morning, knowing that you don't really have no energy, but as soon as you touch Coach Doyle, it's on and popping. You know, like it's not no warm up into it. Like you better be ready to go. You know, so I think that helped me as I got older. Though it helped me just snap into it and start knocking things out. So I think it was good, but at the time I was like, "Ooh, it's tough." You know,
I think as a freshman, that first hour of every day I ran on pure anxiety before any energy actually kicked in.
For sure. Like, yeah. Don't want to be late. Want to make sure you're at the right spot.
You know, yeah, don't mess up the cone drills. Don't mess up the ladder drills. Like,
for sure. Hey, the ladder drills, you getting sent home. Don't mess them ladder drills.
Dude, the worst one was the hurdles. You had to, like, kick over the hurdle.
Yes.
And if your heel clips that hurdle, it's not like you can't hide it because everybody hears it. It's like you're done. It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
Oh, bro. My God. I still get anxiety thinking about it.
I know, right?
It was cold. And you, your whole career was at the old facility.
Yeah, right? Bro. Like, the whole time, man. Like, when they got that new facility, I was like, you guys just, y'all do not know. Like,
I'm curious if like they mentioned that facility at all to you during like your recruiting years or your early years, like, oh yeah, you'll be in there by the end of your career.
And it's just I think so. I definitely think so. I missed it, of course, but I got to see it on the coaching side. So that was pretty unique to see it on the other side.
I think the coach has got a pretty good setup up there too.
Great setup.
For sure.
Great setup.
So you get there. One of only a few true freshmen to see some action that year in 4 games. I got your bio. I got the Don Shump bio pulled up on the side.
Oh, yeah, I love it, man. I love it. Yes,
What was it like to get in early, you know, get a little action? Probably, I think you played special teams, right?
Yeah, I was special teams. I was more like the gunner.
Yeah.
You know, back in them days, you had your ram and your line. And when the ball was snapped, these guys would move on the snap, and we was ball guys. So I had no lane responsibilities. I used to love it, bro, as a freshman. Like, my first game was at the University of Michigan at the Big House, and I had, like, 3 tackles on kickoff that day. I mean, that's all I was – you know, I was living for kickoffs, bro. I wasn't necessarily getting in at receiver. But, you know, as a young guy, you got to do whatever you got to do to make the team, you know. And I really feel like a lot of these young cats today – that's the thing that they don't understand. You know, they don't understand the competition and, you know, the failures. And, you know, once you fail, how to push yourself and, you know, to get back to that next level. You know, these guys like to, you know, give in. You know, I think Iowa taught me how to just keep fighting, how to keep pushing because, you know, it's supposed to be tough. You know, but a lot of people want things easy. And it's not an easy life, you know, in football, not an easy game. So.
There's a hell of a lot of dudes competing for not so many positions and a hell of a lot of money in a big sport. So it ain't nothing going to be easy about it. And these, coaches being paid millions of dollars, athletes being paid a crap load of money now. Like, if you want it easy, you should have chose something else to do with your life.
I agree 100%.
You get in a few games. I really think you're an interesting case, Shump, because when you talk about kids nowadays versus a decade ago, it makes us sound old, but a decade ago, when the transfer portal wasn't so much a thing and NIL wasn't a thing, and you just kind of stayed where you were and fought out position battles, or, you know, maybe you hear of a guy transferring and finding another school. Now kids are at a different school 4 or 5 years in a row. Over the course of your career, and I'd love to hear it in your words, but, you know, it might not have panned out receiver wise like you may have saw it as you came from Hazelwood East in St. Louis. Every guy thinks they're going to be the guy, and then it's going to be the league, and that's it. Like, it's a wrap. I'm going to make $10 million, and that's it. How do you look back upon that time now? You've already mentioned it a couple times of how it really shaped you as an adult now in your 30s, and it teaches you hard lessons. Like, what do you think about that time, and what do you think would have happened if the transfer portal was a thing back then?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great question. So freshman, sophomore season, you know, I'm just fighting to get receiver reps. Going into my junior year, I become like the third receiver. So 11 personnel, I come in, you know, mostly third down, second downs, whatnot. You know, getting my feet wet. We play Iowa State, and it's fourth down, it's fourth quarter. I think we down by about 3 to 4 points. You know, we putting the drive together. I'm running the dig route to my left. I'm running a dig at about 16 yards. CJ Beth, he put it on me. I jumped, left my feet, ball hit me in my chest. Fourth down, game over. The next couple weeks, I kind of, my play time decreased, bro. So mentally, I'm just, you know, I'm not there, bro. I'm just like, man, you know, there's one play and all of a sudden it's gone, you know. But the next year, as I, you know, as the season kept going, my reps kept getting decreased. All it did was just make me go harder. Like, going into my senior year, bro, if you turned on the tape at practice, you wasn't going to see a rep, me not going 100%. If it was me blocking a corner down the field, if it was me running a route, I literally just had to give it everything I got. And in return, you know, I was basically starting my senior year. You know, me and Tavon, we was kind of sharing reps. And, you know, I ended up going into a camp with the, you know, Chicago Bears and the Chiefs. So it really did show me if I keep my head down, you know, I could figure it out. But the moment you quit, you know, those opportunities seize, man. And it really just made me become a harder worker, because I never was a guy that felt sorry for myself. I was just going to put it out on the tape because, you know, the tape don't lie. And so that's how I took that, man. And anytime I go through something tight, like tough in life today, you know, I always flash back to those type of moments, you know, knowing that I can push myself through if I keep my head down.
And that's, I think that's one of the beautiful things about college football and going through the program is, you know, you take a big step back and it takes a long time to regain the coach's trust and your quarterback's trust. But, you know, you just talked about, I mean, that was like a year and a half process for you to get back up to like the starting role. You know, we showed up in 2013 where you were kind of already in that role. And I definitely remember like you being one of those guys that coaches would point out. It's like, this is the type of effort that we need, like going through special teams drills, going through, you know, just, you know, every now and then they pull out effort plays during camp, and like you would be one of the guys that they pull out somewhat frequently. And like Kluver said here, like you weren't always the most talkative dude as a senior. I mean, always, obviously we were freshmen. We didn't really talk to the seniors very much, but, you were one of the dudes that we could definitely look to, and it's like, this is how you work. So I just want to say I appreciate you for that.
Oh, yeah, man. I definitely appreciate it. And going back to, like, if I would have transferred, probably, like, probably would have never stuck it out. I mean, that's, you know,
and,
why.
And what's crazy is, like, 10 years later, successful, you've been into coaching now, now you're doing the agent thing. Like, you're doing it, man. Like you're finding all the success in the sport still, helping out others. And I just wonder, like, how many guys nowadays, you know, like you said with the basketball thing, if you would have took that basketball route, none of anything right now would be happening, probably.
For sure. Like,
and all these guys that are transferring now, they're not sticking it out. They don't play their freshman year. I mean, it's crazy. These kids come in and think, if I don't get your time my freshman season, I got to go somewhere else. And it's just like, how many stories are getting cut down because they don't let it develop. And I get the urgency. You only have so many years in college, although it seems like they'll give you 6 or 7 nowadays. It's just like, I don't think we have any Don Shumps. If you just transfer all the time and you just got a bunch of quitters, I like having Shumps of the world. Like Kevin said, I wholeheartedly agree. I think we got to be in the building with you as teammates for 4 or 5 months, but all I can remember is this is a guy who you look to. He puts his head down. He works. He does everything right. He takes the coaching. He gets bet like everything you want from as a coach from a player is what you were, Shump. And I don't know if we have as many of those guys out there these days.
I got one more thing I got to pull up from I remember every now and then Coach Davis would pull up some game clips during the games. Do you remember his nickname for you?
Spot.
Explain to the people why you were nicknamed Spot.
So Coach Davis, man, I love Coach, by the way, man. Coach Davis, he always called me Spot because he said wherever I caught the ball at, that was the spot I was going to land at. In other words, he was saying my yak was not good, bro. He was saying it was going to be a catch spot. First down, bro.
Hey, we'll take it. We'll take it. We'll take the first.
Yeah, we'll take it. Hey, we move the chains. I'm going to get up hype. We're going to move them chains. Like, that's funny, though, man.
I do remember.
Yeah, I agree, though, Tyler. You definitely don't get the same stories that you probably would have got. Those grit stories that's putting your head down and just working through things. In this environment, it's just going to be a little tougher. And, I think it's a disservice for some kids, especially even just the parents and, the people that's babying these kids right now, they really don't understand the reality of life. And, we had to really figure out the reality once we put the pads down. And I'm sure that was probably one of the toughest transitions for both of you guys to go through, just trying to figure out what's next, but mm-hmm. I'm sure you probably, lean back to your Iowa days and you're like, well, if I made it through that, I think I can make it through this, because it's not going to be too many workouts that's tougher than an Iowa workout for 4 years of your life, bro. I mean, come on now. Let's just be serious, bro. We was different, bro. Like, it's a reason why, every year we always compete and we got a good team because it was the way we worked, So I love hard work.
Amen to that, brother. Yeah, we've talked about the transition from post athletics a few times on here. And, I think the hardest thing for me was, it was a lot easier to compete in a team environment. But now you got to go out and compete with yourself and find meaning for yourself outside of the team without anyone else there along that battle with you. But like you said, man, you got to lean back on all the tough experiences that you'd been through for the last 4 or 5 years and makes it a little bit easier.
I agree.
No doubt. Now, I will say this, I do think the gritty stories, they're definitely less frequent now given where we're at with college football, but I do think that the ones that still stick around, that the stories that do come out, like we had Jay Higgins on the podcast a few weeks ago.
It's true.
About a guy sitting on the sitting his time for 2-3 years and then becoming an All-American. I think that makes it even more special because
I agree.
He could have transferred. He could have gone somewhere else. And I don't know if his story ends up the same way, but he puts his head down. He goes to work. I think he's got a great, great set of parents that kind of pushed him to do it too. And I don't think there's anybody in the world would say that he didn't reach his full potential at Iowa.
Oh yeah, for sure.
100%. Great player.
Speaking of potential, Kevin. Speaking of potential, before we go any further, Shump, as you see down on the screen there, presented by Eagle Point Solar tonight. We do it big around here, right? We're big time. We got sponsors.
I love it.
What is the potential savings that you could have, Kevin Ward, if you switch to solar energy? What a question. How would you know? How would you find out? Take your energy bill, go to eaglepointsolar.com, do their free solar analysis. Grant, I know I can see in your eyes you're doing it right now. You're figuring out how much money you could save.
I got split screen. Got monitor over here is just Eagle Point Solar.
I knew you were. How about last episode, Brad? That guy's pretty good with his money, mm-hmm. right?
He's better than me.
Head of the Swarm Collective, done pretty well for himself with his own What's he do? What's his thing?
Actuary.
Man has solar on his house. These people, they.
I assure you, he ran the numbers.
He ran the numbers, and they want to run the numbers with you, Eagle Point Solar. They just want to educate you, sit you down. That's what the free solar analysis is for. By the way, if you do that, $200 Amazon gift card, they're going to sit you down, talk it out. Maybe you don't save any money. Who knows? Each individual situation is different. Maybe you do. What if you had $25, $50, $100 extra a month because you're saving money on your energy bill? Who knows? Three people this past weekend, I heard, reached out to Eagle Point Solar because of the washed up walk-ons. You could be one of those people. You could be. That's all I'm saying. As long as the sun doesn't die. Back to Shump. Shump, when in the hard times, right? Your sophomore year, you're going through those hard workouts. It's the winter, all that stuff. Who did you lean on other than maybe Coach Johnson who recruited you? Who were some of the guys in your class, maybe some of the other coaches on the staff or just anybody when you had a bad day? Like, man, like we always get that story, even from some of the best players. I think Werfs, a couple other guys have come on here, guys who played in the league, and they're like, no, I had a few days where I was like, I don't know if I can – if I can make it here, I think I might quit. Who is that for you?
Yeah, first off, I would say my mom and my dad, you know, just talking to them, you know, after a tough day, always, you know, my number one cheerleaders, motivate me, you know, tell me to keep going, keep pushing, you know. So just talking to them, it was good encouragement. And also I just had, like, really good close friends I grew up with, like a couple boys that I can always just vent to. I think as man, you know, we need to learn how to open up and vent. And so I think as a young age, 18, 19-year-old, it kind of taught me that, like, bro, you know, we just sit down and just have, like, bro talks. And, you know, because everybody going through something, you just don't know what they're going through, you know. So I would just say, man, friends and family really kind of got me through those tough days.
Is there ever a day specifically you remember where, like, you got cracked and you're like, man, I don't know if this is I don't know if this is for me. Is there one? Is there any hit that you took during your time where you're like, "Ah, you still thinking about that guy?"
I tell you what, it's a hit that I gave to Le'Veon Bell my freshman year, bro.
Okay,
I still feel that hit to today, bro. You know, remember we were talking about kickoff, man, and so yeah. I was like a gunner on kickoff. I was a ball guy, and we playing at Michigan State my freshman year, kick it off to Le'Veon. You know, I'm going to him. It's about – I probably hit him right at about the 20, 25-yard line, chopped his legs down. But as soon as I hit him, bro, all the pain went straight to my back, bro. Oof, to this day, yeah, bro. Like, to this day, I can still feel it. And so I was actually happy because remember I said I was going to Iowa to play defense. That's when I was like, I made the right decision. By going I'm like, bro, if I got to hit dudes like this every play, Le'Veon was 225, 230.
Le'Veon was a big boy, like, man.
He was a huge dude, bro. And I smacked him, but I felt all the hit. I mean, all of it, bro. It was crazy.
Did you get up like you're like nothing happened, or did you like, that one hurt?
No, you know we got to get up. Like, the adrenaline, we going to get up and act like it's all good.
Played it off. I can see Shump right now. He played it off. He was like, yeah, come on.
Yeah, for sure.
Trying to find the camera.
No question.
Those kickoff tackles are some of the most fun tackles to watch, man.
They really are.
And they're cutting it down with the new rules in the league and all that stuff. And in college, guys just fair catch it now. It's kind of crazy, but
I agree.
I still think about, God, what was his name? Collins.
Which Collins? Collins.
His last name was Collins. What was his first name?
What position?
I don't know. He was built like a brick, though. He played our freshman year. It would have been your senior year, Shump. He was number 55. He had dreads.
Collins. Yeah, linebacker.
Yeah. And he would just go kamikaze people on kickoff, man.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. I think it was Marcus Collins.
Marcus Collins. Marcus. Oh,
I was going to say Michael, but I know it's not right.
Marcus Collins, man. Yeah. It was that kind of stuff. Watching you guys run down on kick. Ooh.
I think he actually he may have killed some dude versus Michigan, Western Michigan, our freshman year.
Murdered him.
Yeah, I believe.
Crazy.
He was different.
he was built Unbelievably. Yeah. So you graduate. Couple mini camp invites, I think. Bears, maybe one with the Chiefs, I think I saw somewhere.
Yeah.
And what was your expectation? You know, where were you at mentally coming out of your senior year?
Just wanted the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I know my career didn't go as well as I wanted it to from a stat standpoint. You know, so it was like, you know, put all the eggs on pro day, perform good, and then just see what happens. So for me as a player, it was great to, you know, go through those two camps and just to see it up close and just to know that you can compete at that level. You know, so it was really good for me. Now, when I had to put the pads down, you know, that's when things got a little tough. But, you know, that's part of life.
I mean, I know for speaking for myself, that was a very somber moment when you realize, you know, it's pretty much it's done, man. You played your last snap. Talk to us about, you know, what your emotions were going through that period.
It was tough, man. So this is back in 2015. I actually ruptured my quad muscle as well. Like, it was one of them injuries where you knew everything was over. Like, I mean, it's over, bro. Like, I was running, and it just popped on me. And so I'm dealing with that. You know, it's first time, you know, I was a freak athlete, and now I can't even walk. I'm not playing football anymore. I'm without a job. I already didn't have no money. You know, back then, we was really seriously broke. Like, I mean, hell, we was making, what, like $800 a check a month or something? I can't remember. I mean, it wasn't a lot, you know. And so right now, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's next. Mm-hmm. And then luckily, you know, as time went on, I ended up getting into coaching. And I was coaching at my high school my first year in 2015. And that's what kind of catapulted, you know, life after football for me. So definitely worked out when it's all said and done.
Did you always have coaching like in the back of your mind going through during college? Is like something you wanted to get into, or just kind of something you kind of fell into?
Yeah, you know, I always told myself that I wanted to get into coaching when it was all said and done. I always thought as a player, I was pretty smart as like picking up the plays and just memorizing playbooks. So I thought that can carry over. And of course, you know, just making the impacts and building those relationships with athletes. You know, the main reason why I got into it, but I definitely saw myself as a coach, you know, while I was playing.
Nice. So you spent a year with your high school, and then you get a GA, you come back to Iowa. How did that process go? Did you reach out to KF or have a conversation with him about it? Or?
Yeah, definitely. So anybody that's trying to get into coaching or do something new, I always tell them just to write a personal letter. Like, that's much better than an email or a text message. You know, so I wrote Coach Franz a letter that's expressing my interest, telling him, you know, I'm getting back into coaching. And ironically, you know, he hit me back in the summer of 15. And I tell people all the time, treat every day like an interview, because I never had to interview for that job. The interview was my 4 years as a player. And, you know, like you guys said, when you first came in as freshman, you know, you remember me as the guy that was doing things right. And so that's what I want to be remembered, you know, a man of my word, showing up on time, you know, being disciplined, a hardworking guy. So, you know, those characteristics, it really helped me into the next phase of my life. And that's what really got me into coaching. But definitely think outside the box sometimes, you know, if you're trying to, you know, get into something new, you got to find a way to get into it.
That's a great quote, and I actually love that. Treat every day like an interview. That's good stuff. I'm gonna take that with me.
Yeah, I appreciate that, brother.
I had forgotten that Shump came back, and now that I think back, I remember running around with you as a G. I remember that. That was a fun year, obviously.
That was 16, right?
15, 16. I mean, 15 would have been our undefeated year.
So I actually missed the 15 season.
Okay, so it would have been 16 then.
And I came in 16.
I remember running around you out there with the, you know, wrangling guys up, all the, you know, scout team. Like, it was fun. Yeah,
no, that was good times. Like, that's when I was actually learning football at that point.
Yeah.
I'm a football junkie, so it was
good. I feel
good
like time. KF is good about any guy who wants to come back in GA. Like, he brings back a lot of dudes.
Yeah,
they've turned out like a lot of guys too. Like,
a lot.
I mean, Yeah, like all over the place. I mean, Miles is doing his thing.
Miles is going out to LA. I don't know if you saw.
He is. Yep.
Really?
He's going to LA. He just got hired by the Chargers.
Really?
Bolts up. Man.
Oh, my God.
Matt Aponte, he got hired by the Chicago.
Of course, I saw that.
Definitely Doyle, the OC up there. So this guy's moving. Definitely guys moving from Iowa. And I worked with Aponte and Doyle when I was as a GA. So it's good to see them guys, continue to make that climb.
It's crazy.
It is actually kind of wild when you think about it. Yeah. But it's pretty cool to see. How was your experience being on the other side of things, being a player just not only a couple years prior to that?
You really have to grow up quick. You have to really learn, what it's like to be a coach. So, it's really getting up early, staying late, doing whatever you can do for the player. For me, it was really learning football. I took it serious, like football class. So let me learn things that I don't know, things about defense, protection, run game, whatever that may be. I really just became a sponge during that time as a young coach, just trying to learn as much as I possibly could.
Can you we've talked about this a couple of times before, but elaborate for the fans on the time commitment that the coaches got to put in, especially during the season.
Yeah, it's different. It takes a different guy. But I would say, like me, from my experience coaching in the league, when I was the Giants my first season, let's imagine like a GA in the NFL. I'm like a assistant, but I'm doing all the GA, the grunt work. I worked 100 hours a week for 6 months straight, no days off, just getting it in, bro. I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm back at midnight. My job is to draw the PowerPoints, to break down the film, to draw the plays. So I'm doing all the back end work that people don't see. But the operation don't go without me because, you need a grunt guy at the end of the day. And so it was tough, I just had to that's the reason I kind of pivoted out. Let's just put it like that. That's the reason
That is like you said, that is grunt work that will make I think some dudes in the Marines blush a little bit.
I mean, it's that's the thing too, is because there's so few jobs, right? Like everybody wants a job as a assistant coach, as a coordinator. Like everybody wants football to be their job, right? Any guy who played, there's just such a saturation of a lot of supply, not a lot of demand. And that you got to cut your teeth doing that crappy work. And man, we watched it happen. And then even when you get out of it, if you're in college still, those guys don't go home. Like we talked to Coach Woods this past summer, and he's talked about how multiple times he slept in his office.
And I used to sleep in with Woods his first season in 2016. I was his GA, bro. So we had some long nights together, bro. I'm telling you.
That's cute, man. That's cute.
I mean, like – it's just, you just really have to love football, and that's got to be a true passion. And then even past that, you got to have the right opportunity and some luck, and it's just a lot. You were with the Cardinals for how long?
Yeah, I was with the Cardinals from 19 to 23, so like 5 seasons.
Okay, that's a long time.
Yeah, definitely, man. Seeing a lot, it was good. It was a great experience, that's for sure.
I mean, you got to live in Arizona. That's cool.
I loved Arizona. Now, the summers are extremely brutal, but I still loved it because that was the first time I got introduced to no snow. And now I'm out in Cali, so obviously it's like I'm not going back to the snow, bro. I'm going to let you guys have it.
Visit St. Louis for Christmas, and then that's about it.
There you go.
Yeah. So when was the first time you got a little, like, inkling of what you're doing now? Because you've transitioned into – you're an NFL agent.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So and I see on your story, you still do a little bit of training athletes, right?
Yeah, I'm always training. Coaching always would be like in me. So I'm a train for the rest of my life. And so this is what happened as far as me transitioning to an agent. So back in COVID, we was, you know, working from home. We was leading the football meetings from home. And I'm like, I can get used to this. Like, this is actually pretty sweet. Not having to, you know, get up extremely early and report and go into the office, but still get your work done. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. I had basically 6 months to finish my semester, to finish my master's. And once I got let go with the Cardinals my last year, I decided, let me just go back and finish my master's and let me just pursue this agency thing because, you know, I was always been a businessman. Like I was teaching myself financial literacy and things of that nature after I left college. You know, I really studied it, did real estate and other different ventures, but I just felt like football was taking too much of my time for me to be as creative as I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And so now I stepped out on faith, you know, betting on myself, but I'm actually the first NFL coach turned NFL agent. So, you know, that hasn't happened.
I'm surprised that's that. You're the first one?
Yeah, bro.
Like, there you go.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like Tyler was saying, it's already hard enough to get an NFL job.
That's so true.
You know, I mean, most people, once they get that job, they good. You know, they locked into their career and, you know, they trying to coach until the day they die. You know, but I got a different, you know, blueprint. And, you know, it's going good because end of the day, I got into coaching for the athlete. And it's the same with the agency side. I just as a coach, I kind of figured just for me looking at the players, like guys was not getting the right guidance. Mm-hmm. And it might be just as simple as let's fix your credit in. Buy you a house when you first get into the NFL, and that'll take you a long way post career. Okay. But it's just like, I just feel like people, you know, are taking advantage of these guys and not necessarily showing them how to keep the money, and how to stay on top, and really how to just go through a whole NFL. Cause just like as a college athlete, you got to go through those different stages. It's even more brutal in the NFL because it's cutthroat. And, you know, most of those guys are used to playing, all of a sudden they got to sit on the bench. And so really just getting that mental help and, you know, having somebody you can vent to and talk to, and, you know, that's real critical for them guys. And I really feel like, you know, that's where I can help bridge the gap.
Well, in addition to, like you just mentioned, being the only coach who's then become an agent, like you've got such perspective that no other agent can offer these guys. Say, hey, man, these are what these guys are looking for you to do. This is what you got to work on in the off season. This is what you got to work on during your pro day and really show them that you can do. This is what they're going to be looking like analyzing you for. And then once you show up in the building, they want you, you know, this is how they want you to act. This is how they want you to perform. It's like, that's gotta be invaluable for a young athlete coming out of college to hear.
100%. Like I tell the guys, it's like really having a cheat sheet. You know, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. And it's kind of up to you just to execute it, but you won't be blindfolded as far as what's about to happen, you know? And I really feel like I tell guys too, it's like, bro, would you go have a doctor operate on you? And he never went to school for 8 years. Like a lot of these guys that are agents, they never even put on the pad. So like, mm-hmm. How can they possibly relate to you on the day to day on exactly like what's really going on?
For sure.
You know? And so, you know, I just hope that, you know, guys would, you know, believe in me and they can see, you know, the different things that I'm doing, how I can help, you know, prolong their career as a player and, you know, post-career.
A lot of guys out there just want that. They're just coming for the money.
Most of them
they
are.
They just see that contract like, I can help a guy out, take 3%, yeah, you know?
Exactly. Most of them are. I mean, that's just it's a doggy world. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, how many good people that you actually come across? Not a lot. You know, and so that's what I try to have my reputation. Just like you guys remember me from Iowa as a guy that took care of business. I like people to remember me as being as real as they come. Like, I'm not a two-faced person. Like, what you see is what you get. I'm not trying to sell you a dream. Like, I'm really just trying to help you get to that next level, you know, by using my experience.
That's a process too, right? You got to take a test, get like accredited or get certified, mm-hmm. right?
It's a tough test, extremely tough test. 60 questions, about 3 hours. People typically fail the first time. But me, I want to say me working in the NFL, the terminology wasn't as hard for me to get. I just had to, you know, get in depth with the numbers and, you know, how to do the different contracts. But it wasn't bad. I locked in for a good 4 to 5 months with studying every day, and, you know. if you put the work in, you know, good things happen. So
got it
now done. I'm here, and I got a couple guys, you know, for this draft, and you know, continue to work, and you know, see what happens, man.
That's so sick.
Who do you got coming out this year?
I got Mookie Cooper. He's from Mizzou. He remind me of guys that I coached in the past. You know, guys that's smaller, like 5'8", but they really good with the ball in their hands. You know, punt return guy, kick return guy. You know, make the first guy miss, play multiple positions. So, you know, I got him. I got a couple other receivers from University of Elon.
I don't know if Shump knows who DeMarco is.
Yeah, I know Marco.
You would have been. Yeah, he would have been there in 16. Yeah.
So 100%.
Dude, he's cranking out. I watched some videos online of some of the stuff that those guys do in the weight room. It's like he's got some dogs on that team.
He do, and he's a dog himself because some of the workouts he still does is just crazy. Like, bro, my whole back will fall apart if I try any of that.
he's nuts.
He is.
So what does that look like then? Because we have a pseudo friend, a Husker friend that we met through, and he played at Nebraska. He's an agent now as well. He's been doing it for 2 or 3 years, and he's described
on lineman though.
Yeah, he's kind of a lineman guy. He's talked about how, you know, the season rolls around for college football, and he's out there basically recruiting guys. It's kind of like a coach, like you're trying to go find guys that are going to sign with you. With NIL and all this stuff, all these guys have, you know, NIL agents now while they're in college. It kind of blurs the lines. What is that? What's your process of going and finding a guy or finding a roster of guys for a draft class? What does that look like?
Yeah, you know, for me, I just have an eye for the certain guy that I'm looking for.
Okay.
So, you know, I might go through the college rosters and see certain guys that I know probably won't be high round picks, but they got potential to play in the NFL. And so I kind of just make a list, you know, and after I make my list, I go out and contact guys. And then after that, like some, you know, as I continue to grow, people, you know, they give me leads. And so sometimes I look up other guys that people have, you know, sent me or whatnot. But it's really just doing my own homework. And then if I feel comfortable on the guy, just like as y'all was getting recruited or whatnot, you know, like then that's when I really just up the ante, and I really press them, and you know, to try to tell them about myself, the different things I can offer. Like you said, now it is a lot of NIL agents, so you know, the earlier you get on guys, the better. But you know, for some guys it might work, but for other guys, you know, they realize that this dude probably isn't the best for me. I need to probably switch. So I really think it's a two-way street on how to handle it or whatnot, but it's definitely different. Things are changing, and it's a lot more agents these days as it probably was years ago. So it's a lot more competition as well.
For sure.
Our last podcast, we had a conversation with Brad about these NIL agents, and there may be a business model for undercutting them because these guys are taking like 10, 15, 20%. So.
No, for sure. Like they are taking a lot. It's like the Wild Wild West right now. I mean, I'm sure they're trying to get some rules put behind it, but it's definitely ways where you can cut it. And I just think 20% on anything is just insane, but that's
wild. I mean, yeah, the government's already taken almost half, and then you got to give them their, yeah.
It's crazy.
Not a whole lot of the pie left after that.
For sure, right?
G-Bone, I don't want to – if you have any questions, you have the floor. I don't want to make you quiet the whole episode.
Oh, I do got one burning question for you. I've got some friends who are from Missouri as well, St. Louis area, and – my thing with Missouri, a lot of people call Missouri the South. Would you say that Missouri is the South? That's what I got to know from someone who actually lived there.
I would say the whole culture is more Southern driven.
Okay.
But I would say just looking on the map, we kind of call it the Midwest, but I think the culture is more South. So
okay.
I can see why people say that.
Okay. So you like St. Louis itself, because I feel like there's a difference between like Columbia and St. Louis, Missouri, right? Like exactly. I know Columbia's in the SEC, right? But like in terms of St. Louis and like the, I guess like, is that even Northern Missouri? It's kind of in the middle,
like,
right?
Central. It's kind of like in the middle towards the east.
Yeah. You would consider that like this is the South.
Yeah. I would consider it the South.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's right there.
I mean, it's good food. When you think of the South, you think of good food, you know.
I do coffee. Think of good food. Yeah.
What's the best spot back home? If you go back home, what's the spot?
Well, we known for our Chinese food. Fried rice is outstanding.
Okay.
St. Louis known for Chinese food?
Yes, bro.
Is there like a little China in St. Louis?
Well, basically, all the Chinese spots, they kind of cook them very similar. And okay. It's just like a St. Louis staple, to be honest.
I would do some fried rice right now, man.
You got a barbecue spot in St. Louis?
A couple, bro. It's a spot called Reds. I mean, it's a lot of spots. They known for barbecue and Southern food, so soul food. You know, you come to St. Louis, you definitely will eat good. Like, that's for sure.
Now, I got a follow-up question to Grant's question. There's a rumor out there that says if you cut the bottom 10% of Iowa and give it to Missouri, that both states' IQs increase. Get a comment?
Oh. Hold up, say it one more time. Sorry.
The idea, Shump, is that if you took the dumbest people from Iowa and you gave them to Missouri, both states' IQ average would go up.
I can see that. Hey, look, I met
Shump's,
a lot of
Shump's one of those. Hey, Shump was 2-time academic All-American.
Yeah,
so he isn't a part of that. He isn't a part of that.
Exactly. I'm on the other side. But I did meet a lot of smart Iowa people, so I can see where you're going.
I'm not an Iowa native, so I can't claim that one.
Okay. Where are you from again, Kev?
I'm from outside Chicago.
Okay.
But I've since made Iowa my home. I haven't left since school.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, Shump, this was a good time catching up, man. We're happy we got to do this.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
I'm gonna stay in touch and I'm gonna keep following you. I love seeing what you're doing with the NI or with the agent stuff. And again, I saw you training people out there, you know, doing footwork yesterday. So I'm into that stuff too. So we said before we hit record, it's cool to see former teammates doing cool stuff, and we're happy to know you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, man. Keep up the good work. I seen the podcast. It's been taking off ever since you guys launched it. So I always respect guys that keep their head down and, you know, they keep doing it. You know, that's tough. A lot of people like to quit. So I salute you guys.
So one thing we haven't done is quit.
There you go.
We ain't going to quit. Hope everybody enjoyed our pod with Shump. I know you did. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. We'll be back again next time. We're trying to get, a couple guys on the team that just graduated. I think we got a couple more lined up. So we'll see if we can get them on next time. We'll see you then. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.